time.
My, oh my.
He comes alive at midnight. My mama doesn't trust him.
My, oh my.
He's only here for one thing, but a black leather jacket, a bad reputation, insatiable habits. He was on to me, one look and I couldn't breathe. Yeah, I said if he kissed me, I might let it happen.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my partner, Boris.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
I hope we're all safe in this pandemic. I hope and pray that your spirits are high and that you know that soon God will get rid of it. Our show is available live on the radio, also through our app, The Cure, for any smartphone, and our website, godisacure.com. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in more than 11 states, among others, and soon after the show on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone, and the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information, knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I do believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. There's always hope. The song we played earlier was My Oh My by Camila Cabello and DaBaby. Okay. Do we know what is influencing our young minds today? As we grow to a greater understanding, we tend to blend in with our environment, and what seems to work and what seems to be okay to others can be detrimental to young minds. It is my experience that kids search the web and are connected to social media way more than they watch TV, and even more so than they do talking to their parents. And we are blessed if we have a child that is willing to have an open dialogue and share their concerns with a parent, but that isn't most teens and tweens. We are so careful to warn them about stranger danger ever since they were little kids. But when it comes to the internet, it's a new IBF. That's internet best friend, as my daughter told me one day with excitement. And the kids have no clue who's on the other side, giving them a false sense of security just because the stranger's not in front of them, posing an immediate threat. Do we know about those conversations? Or the sites visited, or even the ones that tend to pop up, poisoning young minds? And do we know how to safeguard our children from harm and the possible dangers so easily available to our kids due to advanced technology in the internet era? Today, we're going to talk about helping our kids develop internal filters against inappropriate content. Did you hear that, Mimi?
That is fine. We invited our daughter to listen too.
Our special guest is Kristen Jensen, founder of Protect Young Minds. She's also a best-selling author of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, series of children's books, aiming at helping parents empower their kids with tools to resist and reject pornography. Kristen's an active member in the Safeguard Alliance of the National Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation and has testified before the Washington State Senate Law and Justice Committee on the Public Health Crisis of Pornography. Kristen, thank you for being on the show. You are now live.
Invitation.
It's an honor. I'm very blessed with wonderful guests like yourself. I understand that, unfortunately, Kristen, many kids are exposed, whether we like it or not, it does happen, to pornography. And yeah. It's very unhealthy. Kristen, how common is it, and why did you start to work in this area?
Well, it's very common. It's more common than parents realize. In fact, there's been studies that show there's a naivete gap between what parents think their kids have been exposed to and what their kids have actually been exposed to. So, for example, there was a study done in the UK, and where 25% of the parents thought their kids had seen pornography online, but in fact, 53% of those kids, of their kids, had seen or had admitted to seeing pornography online. When you looked at the gender of those, mm-hmm. 32% thought sons had seen pornography, but actually 68% had seen it. And with girls, the gap was even larger. 17% of the parents thought that their daughters had seen pornography, when a whopping 58% had seen it. So more and more kids are seeing pornography. They see it through social media. They see it in apps, all kinds of forms and platforms. And it's becoming normalized in the kids' society. So that is a real problem. And it means that we have to start younger and younger to talk to our children about this problem of pornography.
Well, I definitely see there's a huge need for you. But I understand it must be very difficult for the kids, because even I go on my Twitter page and I see something disgusting that I don't want to see. I did not invite it. I did not ask for it. Okay, I know to block it. But what are kids to do? They have no idea what's coming at them. It's something that it should be very alarming. Tell me about what brought you into this work.
Well, that's a good question. It's not something that I ever planned to do. When I was younger, I didn't dream of becoming, you know, an author that wrote books about pornography for children. So, but life, as you know, takes its twists and turns. And when I moved to a new city with my husband, who we moved here for a new job, I met a woman, and she called me up one night, and she told me about her 17-year-old son they found out that he had been sexually molesting his younger brothers and sisters from the 4-year-old all the way to the 14-year-old. And he pornography was involved. And it was tragic. I mean, these kids had to go to counseling. The boy had to be prosecuted. Luckily, he was 17 wow. and not 18. And so he went away into a program that our state has. And what we're finding is more and more children, and we can talk about this later, but more and more children are doing that. They're looking at pornography, and then they're doing what they are wired to do, and that is imitate what they see adults do. So after I had this conversation with this mother and heard her tragic story, I woke up the next morning and I just felt compelled, I just felt compelled to go and search for a resource for her young children, right? To warn them about pornography, because I could see that they were linked. And so I looked, I couldn't find anything. And as I did more research on how pornography impacts the brain of children, I realized, you know, it shouldn't be that hard to boil this down into some simple terms and to produce a book that could educate children and empower them and help them know what to do when they see pornography. So I started on that book, and I thought, oh, I'll get it done in a couple weeks during the summer. And that wasn't the case. It took 3 years to get it out to the public. And so that was the birth of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Pornproofing Today's Young Kids. And then because parents started to ask me for a younger version, a few years later, I published Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior, A Simple Plan to Protect Young Minds.
Well, here's the thing. It's a very difficult thing to deal with because, you know, we're talking about kids that don't have a genetic component for being a child abuser, or it's not that it happened to them, and here's a normally perfect kid that is ruined just from something he saw. That's incredible. And an entire family goes down. We will continue talking with Kristen Jensen about protecting our children from outside world bad influences. We would love to hear from you. Call us 1-866-34-TRUTH. Again, 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Nothing can hold us back. Nothing can tear us apart. Not life, not death. Not the in-between, this is just the start. Don't let them keep you down. Don't let them push you out. We were made to live, to be fierce like lions, love and forgive. Just keep moving. Down the dead of night, we're bringing hope to the streets. There's a new way, a better life. Only one can set the captive free.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. This is Amy Cabo, and thanks for tuning in.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app, The Cure with Amy Cabo, or in social media, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, or later as a podcast.
The song that just played was Power by We Are Messengers. We are made to love and forgive others as well as ourselves, the way Jesus taught us. When we truly live our best lives with God in it, nothing will hold us back or tear us apart from the ones we love, and not life or death from God. Don't let our fears and failures keep us down. We were made to live, to keep pushing ahead, to be fierce like lions, when the new has come and the old is dead. And when we know it'll be all right, we've got power.
Ooh, okay. I'm still working on my powers, but anyway, some of you have power. I also want
That's
to remind
you, have me.
There you are. I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Let us know suggestion of a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on godisthecure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
We're talking to Kristen Jensen, discussing protecting and educating our children from potential dangers of outside influences in a world that's sometimes sexually demoralized. Kristen, you say kids need to be warned about the dangers of pornography as soon as they have access to the internet. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, a lot of parents ask the question and they wonder, you know, how soon or how early should I begin talking to my kids about pornography? And the answer is, as you said, as soon as they have any access to the internet, whether it's in your home, whether it's at somebody else's home. Right now during the COVID, you know, lockdown, It's starting to open up, but a lot of kids are still, on a lot of devices for hours and hours. And it's really important to give them a warning early on, before they get exposed, ideally, so that you give them the first knowledge of it and you are able to transmit your values when you talk to them about it. So I say every child needs three things. So the first is a definition. A definition of pornography or bad pictures so that they can recognize it, because that's the first step to rejecting pornography, is the ability to recognize it and name it. So the first step is to define it. And a simple definition that I use in Good Pictures, Bad Pictures goes something like this. Pornography or bad pictures are pictures, videos, or cartoons of people with little or no clothing on that focus on the private parts of the body that we keep covered with a swimsuit. So that's a very simple, age-appropriate definition. We don't need to tell them all the horrors of what's in the violent, toxic pornography out there, but we just need to give them enough information so that they can recognize it and tell us about it. And then the second thing they need to know is a warning. They need to know why pornography is harmful, what it can do to you, how it can become addicting, and all the really harmful things that come as a result of engaging in pornography. And then third, they need a plan, right? We all do better when we're not caught off guard. So kids need a plan. They need to know exactly what to do when they see pornography, just like we do a fire drill, right? Or other kinds of drills, you need to give them a plan. So a definition, a warning, and a plan.
So you find a way in your book to introduce this difficult truth in a gentle way and also educate them so that they're able to protect themselves, because we can't always be there for them. It's impossible.
Right.
We can't be everywhere. Only God can.
No.
Sorry, we're not God.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. A lot of us don't know the dangers. It's great that you have this book for kids to warn them, but how about the parents? Do we even know how bad it can be? Sometimes some of us think it's no big deal. That's part of growing up. It's part of, them discovering themselves and others. And
I read something very interesting, by the way, about that. There is some documentary, I think, in England. Some five moms did a safe porn. What do you think about that?
Did a safe porn?
Yeah.
What is that?
Kristen, what do you think about that?
So I'll tell you what I think about it.
I'm pretty sure know what you're going to think about that.
Misguided, yes. There's this myth that if we can just do friendly or like female-friendly porn, or just show sex between a man and a woman and make it romantic and loving, that is going to be appropriate and that can educate our children somehow. And I totally reject this, because what happens is, and what we've seen through the science, is that people start using pornography to become aroused. And then they go on because what they're watching becomes kind of boring, right? And the brain is like this. Have you ever bought something new and then after a little while it wasn't so exciting anymore? I remember buying a new car years ago. And after a while, it's just like, not so exciting. That's because the dopamine in my brain has kind of, come down. So what happens is pornography is a super normal stimulus. It's really powerful. And when kids get bored of, or people get bored of one kind of pornography, they will go on to another more extreme
form. Or they'll
just
act upon it. Or they'll act upon it. Watching it is not enough.
Right.
Watching is not enough. Usually people, yes, they masturbate to it. I'll just go out and say it.
Yes.
That's what kids learn to do. And then when you put those two together, it's very powerful, and that's how it can lead to become an addiction.
Here's where I'm concerned, is that they miss the whole picture, the beauty of it all. It becomes something different. It becomes a quick fix. And then not only that, but their young minds don't see it for what it is. And then what if they become dependent? And that's the only way they can get around.
Well, it is an addiction.
And
it
now,
is.
Normal things don't work anymore.
That's right.
The dangers.
That's a very well documented, it's called porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And
wow.
Time Magazine did a big front page, you know.
I definitely want to go into that when we come back from the great, from the break.
From the great break, too. Yeah.
This is The Cure. We'll be right back. Call us at 866-34-TRUTH.
Tell us what you think about porn.
With your inappropriate internet
we'll
content.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
I've been trying to run away from this false reality. No matter where I turn my back, you're always right in front of me. So I push you away, but I don't know that I'm wrong. I don't know the words to say to make my faith that strong. So I will pray to you right now to take away my sin, heal away my brokenness, and change this heart again. Without you I am nothing but a weak and dying man. So I will pray to you right now and change this heart again.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. You're with Amy and Boris, my wonderful partner.
Wow.
Remember, we're live
Thank
every
you.
Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio and our app, The Cure, on any smartphone. And our website, GodIsTheCure.com.
All shows are available as an audio and now video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo.
The beautiful song that just played was Change This Heart by Sidewalk Prophets.
Oh, by the way, sorry to interrupt you. Thank you, Anton, for submitting the song. You're going to get the gift certificate very soon.
Oftentimes, our young, innocent minds don't realize what is not good for them. What slowly separates them from God, sometimes they're enveloped in a false reality. It's up to us to guide them and teach them, as our sweet Jesus has done for us. The way he took away our sins, healed our brokenness, even when we pushed him away, and especially when we weren't that strong. There are hurts in this world that can challenge our faith. Sometimes all we can do is praise God and pray, for he is the only one that can bring about a change of heart and make all things right again.
Well, okay. I also wanted to remind you again about the contest we started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on GodIsTheCure.com. The lucky winner will get a $25 gift certificate like Anton just did.
We are talking to Kristen Jensen, an advocate about educating and protecting our children from advanced technology, basically the World Wide Web.
Advanced technology. Well, some technology is good, right? Okay.
The web. I was talking the web.
I hear you. Okay.
Kristen, and you know, we were talking about how pornography can be an addiction, and these kids, they don't come with instructions. They don't see it coming.
Sometimes they send instruction booklets. No. If you ask at this hospital.
They have no clue what's going to happen to them. And as we were talking earlier, these kids can end up becoming desensitized, or they become dependent on it, or they can act it up on somebody else because they don't think it's a big deal. I remember hearing a story that some girls were watching a porno in school, and one of the girls came home and tried it on her little brother to tell her friends she knew about it now. You know, it's kind of a crazy thing. So in your book, I mean, what can we do to help prevent these things? You talk about safety rules. What kind of safety rules can we establish?
Yeah, so in the junior book, I've got five safety rules, and they have to do with body safety, because pornography and child sexual abuse are very connected. So you need to teach your child not only to be, you know, safe as far as their body and not let people touch them and that kind of thing, but also taking pictures. There's so many kids that are getting what we call sextorted. So sextortion means a child that goes online and they are, you know, they're predators there, and they form a relationship with the child, and then they get the child to send them pictures and more pictures, and then they threaten the child. So this is happening. The FBI says it's a huge problem, a growing problem. And so there are many reasons to help kids understand how to be safe online in the digital world that they live in and that they're growing up in. And Boris is right. There are many wonderful things about technology. I mean, here we are talking together. We're on opposite ends of the country, and we're talking and seeing each other. So that's an amazing thing that technology provides for us. But it's important for parents to start to protect their children against these dangers. And in Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior, we do those three things. It makes it super comfortable, super easy to give kids a basic definition, to warn them, and to give them a plan of what to do when they see pornography so that they're prepared and that they can minimize the damage it does to them. And again, I can't stress enough the connection between pornography and child sexual abuse, not Very only true. From adults, but from other children, as in the story that you just told. I hear these stories all the time, and it's there are conferences now, I've spoken at them, that are really starting to tackle this problem of child-on-child harmful sexual behavior.
And it's happening a lot. Because it doesn't
fueled by pornography.
And it doesn't only have to be an adult. So, but what do you tell the child who's being, what do they call it, catfish? That they may pretend to be a child, or they may pretend to be another person that they're not. And slowly but surely, they start working on the child and grooming the child and showing them pornographic images and things like that. And as much as I've tried to talk to my child, she's like, no, mom, for sure it's a kid, for sure. Well, how do you know? Have you seen them in video? No, I only see pictures. So it's a matter of educating, because these predators, they're very good about acting like a child and being manipulative, and they could easily poison a child's mind.
In fact, Amy, there are rings, sextortion rings, where they have specialists. So the first guy gets in there and pretends, or the first woman, whatever, pretends to be the friend, starts the friendship. Then they hand it over to the next person who gets the first picture and escalates. And then they get it to the next person who's the one that threatens the child and gets the really compromising, maybe sexual pictures or nude pictures of the child.
There's a whole network?
This is happening.
Wow.
Wow.
Organized.
Yeah, they have a whole network.
It's like organized crime. That's terrible.
It's organized crime. It's organized extortion network. Because they can sell these.
What do you call it? Child.
And that's probably how they get to child pornography. Well, child trafficking, and probably they make pornography out of children too once they kidnap them.
Yes, they do.
It's a very scary thing, and it just happens with your kid being in the bedroom watching something. You have no clue you're in the living room watching TV.
And you don't know. Yes, yeah, you don't know that these kids are, and these kids are from all walks of life. So even demographics where they have intact families, two parents, you know, they're not in poverty. Even these kids are at risk. All kids are at risk that are on the internet, and we just need to educate them and give them a chance to reject this toxic material.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter who you are. Just like the virus, abuse doesn't discriminate. It's an opportunistic thing, just like the virus.
Yep. The porn pandemic. Porn pandemic,
so,
definitely.
We all have to learn to talk to our children and try to keep an open dialogue. I know that not all kids talk to their parents. I'm very blessed that one of them do. One out of two, not bad. But you don't always get it. So you have to find ways of trying to get it in gently. You know, when you have them at the dinner table, they're stuck. That's a good opportunity.
Well, you have to have them on the dinner table. So that's a first start, right?
We get them there, don't worry.
Yeah, not only for us. I'm just giving advice to other people, see?
Or in the car.
Ah, there you are.
In the car. Good idea. And, you know, I think it should go hand in hand with sex education. As soon as you think you should start talking to them about sex education, that's when you should let them know the dangers of how people have exploited sex. Kids don't know people exploit sex. That's the thing.
So when do you start talking about sex education? I never know.
It depends on your culture.
Kristen, what do you think?
I think sooner rather than later. Now, my books were designed to be able to be read to children before you've had those conversations. But I did a study with 10 people who identified as struggling with pornography, or, you know, they had overcome an addiction with pornography. And they were very different, but the one thing they had in common was that their parents did not talk to them about sex.
There you go.
They have no education, so they're curious. And so basically they went to porn to find out, because kids these days are getting all these cues coming in from the media, from their environment, from other children even, and they want to know. They're wired. They have to learn about their environment. They have to learn how to be an adult. Right? So if their parents won't sit them down and talk to them, not only about the mechanics of sex, but the values of sex, the purpose of sex, right? It should be loving. It should
I have to tell you, I'm guilty. I'll be the first one to say I'm guilty. My kids found out before I could explain it to them. You know, and it's very good advice that you give. Because it can happen to any of us. We would love to hear from you. Tell us about your personal story of trusting God. Call us at 866-34-TRUTH.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
I'm coming undone. This world can often feel lonely. No matter what, until this race is won, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I know you hear my cry. You love.
now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, our app, The Cure, on social media. Look for The God is a Cure.
Later the show will be available as a podcast as well. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo. Amy spelled with an I and a double E on any podcast channel.
The song that just played was Oh Lord by Lauren Daigle. Loneliness can be the hardest thing to deal with. But when we depend on outside sources, we come undone. We can stand our ground where hope can be found. God's love will lift us above all the lies. He always hears our cries, and we know that no matter what we face, in God's good time, He makes it right.
Wow, you say very, very interesting. I also want to remind you about the contest we started again. See, I'm nagging you. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and you can receive a $25 gift certificate.
We continue talking to Kristen Jensen, helping us teach parents how to protect their kids from some bad effects of the internet. Kristen, we were talking about how pornography can be an addiction, and it's something that can come very easily. And so for some of us that are not familiar with the addiction of pornography, is it as bad as drug addiction? And is it as strong as drug addiction and alcohol addiction? Like a chemical addiction?
If you were addicted to meth and you could get meth free through your phone 24/7 in the privacy of your own room, how big of a meth problem would you have?
You
have a big problem. And I feel that pornography is the worst addiction for children, especially because we pretty much protect children from tobacco and alcohol and other addictive substances, but we're not protecting them from some of these natural addictions or behavioral addictions. And that is, you know, pornography. And it's easily accessible to any child that has an internet connection or can get, you know, through an in-app browser. So it's so important for us to begin instilling in them an internal filter, to begin talking to them at a young age so that we can transmit our values and help them understand, you know, why they should reject pornography and how they can be a happier person by doing so. And, you know, I've made it my life work to help parents start those conversations. It's very easy and simple to do through Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. If you have any questions, you can go to Amazon and look at the reviews. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reviews saying that it made it so easy to begin these conversations. And also, our website, protectyoungminds.org. We have tons of free guides. We have a blog that we keep up very regularly, and we hit on all kinds of topics that are important for parents that are parenting now in a very daunting time to have this information.
Here's the thing, Kristen.
So we're doing everything we can.
You said something interesting, happier person, so that you just took it from my mind. I was about to ask you next, what do you do with a person that's already, or the child that's already addicted? Are they going to have withdrawals? Are they going to be depressed? What do we do for that person? How, and explain to us how they can be a happier person doing the right thing.
Yeah. Right. So first of all, I think educating a child, you can't force a child, you know, as they become a teenager and whatever, it's very difficult to force anyone to do anything, right?
Don't I know it.
So you have to come at it with persuasion, right? Love, a foundation of love, and then persuasion and education. Now,
and no
you
phone.
Ask if they would be depressed.
Jesus.
What's that? No phone. Well, yeah. That's, you know, that's a good question.
I don't agree. You have to give them choice. You have to let them know that they need to do the right thing on their own volition.
Otherwise, they'll go find it anyway.
You cannot force someone, say, we don't trust you to do the right thing. God doesn't even do that. We have to trust them to do the right thing in their own volition. On their own volition, we can guide them, but we need them to know.
We can help them.
Yes, we can guide them. We can help them. Yes, go ahead.
But if we're paying for that cell phone, then it's our cell phone. Technically, legally, we are actually responsible. So you can put on the cell phone something like Bark, something that are like Covenant Eyes. These things are accountability programs that will help monitor.
Oh.
And children really need to be monitored. They're not old enough to totally make, you know, their brain.
What are those apps again? What are those apps again?
One is called Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes, that's definitely for a Christian audience, which is definitely your audience. Another one,
that would
though,
work.
Is another one that's really good at monitoring social media apps is called Spark. And they'll send you reports. Like if they see something that is concerning, like bullying or suicide ideation or you know, pornography, that kind of thing.
And they'll
send you a report.
Nice.
They alert you. So they can let you know. There's all kinds of new technologies out there to help parents monitor what their children is doing
and
online.
Parents,
and as children.
And parents, this is monitoring, not spying. It's okay.
No, you need to monitor. That's your job. Okay, I'm going to give you permission.
There you are.
That's your job. Okay, because let me tell you, if you think that you're giving your kids privacy, Google is not giving your kids privacy. Let me tell you. And predators are going to, you know, they're not giving your kids privacy. So let me tell you, it's really important to monitor your children, to educate them and to help them understand the harms of pornography and the harms of viewing and getting involved in this toxic material. It totally hijacks their sexual template. You know,
yes.
They don't see, in pornography, you don't see that kids, I'm sorry, in pornography, you don't see sex portrayed as a loving, kind, unselfish, you know, thing. It is violent. It is just disgusting. It's degrading, especially to women.
Yes.
So these are not the messages
it's,
we want
it's
our
almost
children
as if you're
to
an
be,
object
you know.
Instead of a person.
Yes.
In a pornography,
right.
You're
you
an
are.
Object. You're a toy. You're not a person. That's terrible.
Right.
It devalues people.
It's dehumanizing.
Yes.
It's and, dehumanizing.
I mean, we're all guilty of it. It's not like I've never been guilty, but, you know, we live and we learn.
Oh,
and so
I see
therefore,
that
we must help others.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
The way they can get to all of the posters, like the Candy Plan, which is the plan we have in Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, or the Turn, Run, Tell Plan, which is the one we have in the junior book, is to go on to Protect Young Minds and go to our resources page and download the free PDF.
Okay.
So that's how you get it. And we have a lot of other guides, like, you know, how to talk to your kids about pornography, the quick start guide.
So this is protectyoungminds.org. Okay.
That's
wonderful
right.
Protectyoungminds.org. Wow. That is amazing. Wonderful resources. Because all the other dangers we can see, but
okay,
this is something we
almost,
don't see.
Okay, we are almost at the end of the today's show. Only a few minutes left.
Oh, look at that. It happens. Thank you again, Kristen. It was great to have you on the show. I'm looking back and forth because you're on my computer, but I have to look at the camera.
You're very welcome, and I'm so happy to be able to talk with you and your audience and you know, give your kids a chance to have a healthy, you know, you want your kids to grow up and have a healthy sex life with someone they love and are committed to. Porn is going to take them in the opposite direction. And you want them to have a healthy marriage or, you know, even just healthy relationships with themselves, basically, not objectifying themselves. It's so important to turn
and
away.
Well, here's the thing. All the other dangers, you think, oh, they might not get abused, or they might not, this might not happen, or they might not get run over by a car, or a lightning struck might not hit them. But porno popping up on your phone or the internet, we're all. Yeah, we're all.
It's very funny how the, you know, all the social platforms say, oh, we have to ban this or that. But, I mean, like, porn actually pops up on your phone without even, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are groups like the National Center on Sexual Exploitation that are working to get better policies in place and to hold, you know, big tech accountable. And those things are going forward, and there is some progress being made, so I'm happy to report that.
Nice.
However, we're responsible for our kids. We have to be there. We have to be the one that warns them about the dangers in their world.
Exactly.
Not the dangers that we had, but the dangers that are actually present, that are out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Thank you.
And
thank you,
we're going to finish with a prayer. Thank you so much, Kristen. Lord, technology has helped the world in many ways, but it has also proven to be a snare into sin through the lure of pornography. We ask a hedge of protection against this temptation that has the power to damage families and scar the spirit of both the one who views pornography and those who love them caught up in this trap. Help keep our minds on you in such a powerful way that pornography holds no allure. Give us the wisdom to remove temptations that we cannot resist, and to always keep you first in our hearts and minds. Amen.
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 Thank you also to audio producer Jasper for being with us today, making the show sound good and playing my music picks. Thanks to the Christian guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance, and the Christian car guy, which is an awesome show. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Much love. Until next week. Peace.
Please check our
God
podcast,
bless.
Also The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app The Cure, our website godisthecure.com.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.